And today we're going to be looking at something that I'm sure all of us can be associated with. And the subject today is live out your storm, or live out our storm. And it would be very, very strange for a follower of Jesus Christ to say, I never had a storm, or I don't think I'll be living a storm or living through a storm. Every one of us will, at some point, be living through a storm. And before we talk about this storm, I want to tell you about an experience I had whilst I was living back in the island, 1988. I experienced a storm that most of us would have heard of, called Hurricane Gilbert. I don't think anyone will ever forget about Hurricane Gilbert. And I was on a veranda and first set of wind passed over. And most of us, oh, is that what they were telling us about this Hurricane Gilbert? Is that what it's all about? And then the sun came out and everything. And then, oh, we feel all right. So we sat on the veranda and then later on, it started again. And when it started, brethren, I was outside and approaching the veranda, we called it in Jamaica, and I was unable to leave and go back in the room. And I propped myself in the corner there. And I suppose that God might have had me to be out there because I saw it, brethren. At that time, I had not given my life to the Lord yet. And I pledged that moment because it looked then that I'm going to die and I haven't given my life to the Lord yet. And I sat in the corner and I watched the roof of the house lift off. Not only that, but the ceiling bed, it took the ceiling bed with it as well, and I watched it sailing through the sky like an aeroplane. And I trembled like whinge and I pray, and you know the rest of it. That's what storm does. That's what storm does. And the storms in our life sometimes, my brethren, are not very different. They're not physical, though they can be sometimes. But they're not very different. When the storm comes, my brethren, it destroys life. Yeah. But the funny thing, as I was thinking about this subject, I realized that sometimes the storms in our life are caused by us. Sometimes it's caused by the people around us. But there are times when the storm is introduced by God himself. It's not a bit quiet like on that one life. We are not so sure that God gives storms. Indeed, he does. And sometimes our prayer is that we pray that the storm will go away. That's good, because I stuck in the corner and I pray for it to finish. And sometimes it doesn't sound so hard and you think it's still finishing. And when the wind hit the wall, you thought, oh, it's still going on. And it feels, it's probably lasted for probably a couple of hours, but it felt like it was 2 days. That's what the storms of life is like sometimes. It feels like it go on forever. But let us, and I'm going to ask some of us to help with the reading on the slide. I'll do the first one. It says, the storms of life are many and varied. When they come, they disturb the peace. They can come small like tropical storm or with strong hurricane wind. But one thing is for sure, they do disturb the state of the environment. When Hurricane Gilbert finished, I could stay, because we were living in a very high mountainside. We could stay there and look for miles and miles and miles. The whole environment was changed. Trees fall over, leaves and branches and everything, you know, everything is completely ravaged. Indeed. Most of the time, storms leave sorrows behind when it comes, as it does not care for anything in its path and often leave a trail of destruction behind. Sometimes storms travel in a fairly straight path, and the forecasters can make relatively good prediction as to where it will make landfall, while others are not so predictable and are usually more complex. There are times in life, the storms, the problems that come, are more easy to handle, and you can find a solution to them. But there are other times when the storm is of such that it seems to be coming from different angles. It is so complex that you don't know how to work it out. And all the more reason why the children of God should understand our place in the Lord. Because unless we understand our place in the Lord, we will not have direction as to how to go about dealing with these storms. It is the Lord himself that will have to guide his children through these storms. Sometimes the storms come one wind, one behind the other, and it seems as if there is no letting up. Some of these storms in life are caused by ourselves, as I said. Like Samson, yeah, he brought it unto himself. And sometimes it's caused by Satan's attack, like Job, which we will be going a little into. And some may by other people, as when Paul and Silas were thrown in prison, or when Daniel was cast in the lion den, people hated the children of God, which also, I'm saying to you, brethren, that you should expect these storms. As long as you have people around us, we must expect these storms. You'll be in the workplace and you'll be getting on very well, my brethren. Somehow somebody don't like the credit that the boss gives to you. So it's time to set you up. They don't like the fact that you have done your job on time and you have done it so well that the boss give you all these compliments and these credits. So, you know, I'm not getting these compliments and these. So it's time to get you out of the way. And they plot all sorts of things. Daniel was so good in the kingdom, my brethren. He served the king so well that the king himself loved Daniel to his heart. But notice it that he loved Daniel, and Daniel served a different God from his God, But he loved Daniel so much, which is saying to us also, my brethren, that you see, when we as a Christian serve, we should serve so well, my brethren, that the enemy will love us. That those who don't serve our God will love us. That somebody will look at us and say, you see, that person, I don't support his God, but one thing I do know, that he live upright. But whilst Daniel was living, my brethren, somebody didn't like it. And the scripture said they set out how they're going to get rid of this Daniel. But the one thing we know whilst they're going about scratching their head and worrying their mind as to how they're going to set the man of God up, Daniel just quiet and go into his house and do his prayer 3 times per day. Someone say, praise 3 times a day. Carry on praying, Daniel. We get you where we want you now. And so they drop up the law that you shouldn't petition any other gods and any other one. And you know the rest of it. Daniel was cast into prison. Simply because he lived upright before his God and lived upright before the men around him. The other cases with Job. Let's go to Job. Let's go down on the slides a bit. Let's see where we are. Yes, let's go down to Job chapter 1, and we are going to go from verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where did you come? If we think we can come and sit down in church and he doesn't come, we're mistaken. Wherever the children of God presents themselves, he came as well. Because that's his intention, that's his job. So Satan answered the Lord and said, from the going to and fro on the earth and from the walking back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, and blameless and upright man who fear God and shun evil? It seems somewhat like God was setting up Job. It could seem that way, isn't it? Job fear not better than all the rest of it. The Lord introducing him to the devil. Have you considered my servant Job? This can seem somewhat fearful as well for Christians. Serving you, Lord, I'm being good. I'm living upright. The scripture said that there are times when Job don't even know that his children sins, but he go and pray to the Lord just in case they might have sinned. What a perfect man, and the Lord introduced him to the devil. Have you seen Job? But the one thing to be noted, my brethren, you see, when we serve the Lord, trust is something that reciprocates. Because the Lord know that he can trust Job enough so he can introduce Job to the enemy. And Job knows, on the other hand, that he can trust the Lord to see him through it. And that's the kind of strength, that's the kind of mindset that we as children of God want to develop. A mindset that says to us that whatever the storms of life that we're going through, that the Lord will see us through it. And sometimes our prayer is going to have to not be, Lord, let it pass quick. But sometimes our prayer is going to have to be, Lord, give me the strength so that I can live through the storm. Sad to say, but before I say that, let me tell you something, brethren. Storm comes, as we said before, in complex ways. And they come one behind the other. But there are times when a storm is going on, and let me say particularly, sometimes storm go on in the house as well, you know. You think it's sometimes outside the house? Sometimes, if we should knock on the Christian door and hear this storm inside, you probably don't want to bother to go to Deacon Bailey's house, because the storm inside is too intense. So we sometimes the storms in the family rages. What are we going to do when the storm rages in the house? Are we going to run off? Oh, no, 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 no. We're going to have to, my brethren, find a way to pray to the Lord to see us through the storm. I'm pausing because I want to be careful how I say it. Sometimes the storm is in the church as well, in the groups. And the unfortunate thing is, do you know storm is something that spiral, you know, there's a jet stream that go like this. And everything in its path, it's whipping it up and throwing it there and throwing it all over the place. And sometimes you're in the group, in the church, and you don't know, where I am? Where am I? You're there and you're here and you're everywhere. And sometimes you wonder to yourself, is the Lord around? Where is the Lord in all of this? But go back to the scripture, my brethren. When the devil was ravaging Job, where was the Lord? He was right there, nowhere else, not across the ocean, not across the sea, not somewhere else. He was right there. Remember that when the storm is going on, my brethren, he's right. In fact, Jesus himself says, when there's a story that also told that someone said that, you know, whilst I was walking and it seems as if I needed you most, Lord, then I see one set of steps in the sand, and that's when I need you most. That's when the storm was raging and things were up and down and all over the place. The Lord said to him, during that time when you see one set of footprint, that is my footprint, because then I was carrying you through. As members of the body of Christ, we must be assured, my brethren, must be assured that Jesus is our rock. Amen. That Jesus is our shelter. And we do not look for shelter anywhere else. Right. We look for shelter only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, and let me tell you something. As I said before, sometimes the storm comes and one behind the other. And I will be going back to the storms in the house as well. But before we go back to the storm in the house, let's go to verse 9. So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made an edge around him? You see, the devil clever, you know. He knows what is happening. He knows that the Lord protects his people. Amen. He knows that the Lord have a certain level of protection around us. So you see, when the storm raging, brethren, the devil have a certain level of protection around us. And we can be assured. And the enemy said, but you put protection around him. Yeah, and that's why I'm not turned against you yet. You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possession you have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hands and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. There's a discussion going on here. There's a dialogue going on here. There's a challenge as well. And that's one of the things that I often say to people, you know, let none of us think that we can challenge the devil. Because we can't win. We have to leave it to the Lord, because the devil is so sharp and strong that he will challenge Jesus himself. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your hand, in your power. Only do not lay hands on his person. So the Lord strip him of the protection now around him. The only one protection remains is his life. So Satan went from the presence of the Lord. Let's go from verse 18. And I'll just tell you about some of what happened. Chapter 2. That's fine. I probably have missed some of it. But let's say, tell you what happened. Job lost all his possession. He lost his children, his ox and his camel, and everything, all that he had, he'd lost it, because the edges around now have been removed. Verse 18, and he was still speaking, and another, which is the messenger that came to Job, and another also came and said, your sons and your daughter were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And suddenly a great wind came from across, and the wind, wilderness, and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they are all, and they are dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you. Verse 20, listen to it carefully. Then Job arose and tore his robe and shave his head, and he fell to the ground and worshipped and said, I did not come into this world with anything. All that I had, I got it from the Lord. If that should happen to us in the church, my brethren, I can bet you there are some of us who will say, I'm not going back to church. In fact, less than that happened to us, and we declare that we're not going back to church. We declare that we're not serving the Lord anymore because of this which has happened to us. But the scripture said that when Job lost all he had, he shaved his head, and he went down and he worshipped. That's the level of strength that we need to withstand the storms of life. Naked came I from my mother's womb, and naked I will return thither. And the Lord gave and the Lord taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And verse 22, in all this Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. In all of this, did not sin and did not charge God foolishly. If you think after all of that, the storm was finished for Job, think again. And it seems somewhat, I wonder if the Lord was boasting about Job, boasting about the character of the man. Because the Lord introduced him one more time to the enemy. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in your hand, but spare his life. There he is again. You took his children, you took his riches and all that he had. There he is. No. That seemed hard. So Satan went from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took for himself a potsherd with which scraped himself whilst he sat in the midst of ashes. Back to the storms in the household now. If you think that was all the storm that he was going to face, he lost the children, he lost all the possession and everything. Now he's losing his wife. I suppose that's the only one thing that he had remaining. And now he's losing his wife. Then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? What's gone wrong in your mind? What's wrong with you now? The Lord take everything you have and you still hold fast to your integrity. Look at you. Boils and sores cover you, and your friends that you had from where they came, they don't even recognize you. And you still hold fast to your integrity. You are still serving the Lord and all the rest of it. Curse God and die. You're good for nothing now. Everything is gone. The last thing he had, the storm still rages. The last thing he had was his wife telling him to curse God and die now. That's the end of it. But we will not go to the other side of it now to show the reward that God rewarded Job with. We won't go to that bit now. I'm not going to read this bit either. I'm going to tell you a little thing about what happened to Paul in Acts chapter 27, that he faced terrible time, many storms in his life. He faced shipwreck and all of that, but he held on to the Lord. But what I also want to tell us, my brethren, sometimes we need to be able to approach the storm with some level of caution, some level of calmness. Mark chapter 4, look at how Jesus approached storms. Mark chapter 4, reading from verse 36. Now when they had left the multitude, they came to him along in a boat as he was, and another little boat were also with him, and a great wind arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. What kind of man is this? What sort of man is this? The storm is dashing against the boat, and no doubt having the ship tossing all about over the place, and water start getting until the boat full. And if, well, those of us who know the little fishermen with their boat, sometimes when sea rough and water start fill up the boat, they're taking the little. Those who are from Jamaica in the olden days, you must know cheese pan. Do you know cheese pan? Some people call it butter pan. Forgive me for those who do not know. But there are times when they have to use the butter pan to scrape out the water out of the boat, and sometimes they take a piece of sponge to soak up the water and to squeeze out the water when storm is on the sea. You know? And all of that is happening, and Jesus fall asleep with pillow beside his head. I suppose the disciple must be asking, Jesus, what kind of business is that? The storm is raging and we are all, we're going to be killed, and you're still sleeping? Still have pillow at your head? And they awoke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? But listen to Jesus' approach, brethren. Then he rose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace. Have you got the lesson? There are times this storm is raging in the house, you know. And you see, if the storm is with the wife and husband, and so one raises his voice, so the other one raises his voice above that one, and so the other. What do you think that is going to calm the storm? Not at all. Somebody have to. Peace, be still. So Jesus gave us a big lesson here, my brethren. When the storms of life are raging, we need to understand how to approach this storm. There are times when we also need to move with the storm. You know, storm don't stay one place. The storm, the jet stream move around and round and circle around, and I can't remember which way they said it's more dangerous. Sometimes it's go clockwise and anti-clockwise. There's one more is there. And so it's, but they said, you know what? In the middle of that storm, there is a high. There is a quiet place in the middle of the storm. And that's also a lesson for us, church. That when the storms are raging around us, we need to learn to find the quiet place in the middle of the storm. But sometimes, because this storm also moves, we're going to have to also move with it. Do you follow what I'm saying? When the storm moves, we need to also move with it so that we are ensured that we're in the quiet place of the storm. But as I said before, jump down from that. As I said before, skip over some of that. I'm not going to be long now. I'm going to jump through some of it. What is our response? Because there are many lessons that have been learned there. Many lessons have been taught there. What is our response? Romans chapter 8. Verse 31 said, What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Oh, shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? it is Christ who died. And furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also make intercession for us. Amen. Who also sits in the corner with me when the storm rages. Yes. Who also intercede on my behalf at work when someone make mischief. Yes. Who also stand in the midst when I'm on the bus and someone choose to pick on me. Who also, and let me tell you something, this is one of the, this is a very common thing, you know. You're driving down the road and someone just cut past you like that. Or even you, brethren, I cut past someone like that. We are ready, sharp and ready to give you a piece of the mind. You're not careful also, they are ready to get out of the car and give you a punch. But God will sit with me there if I behave myself according to his will and intercede on my behalf. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall the tribulation that I face, or the storms of life that I face, or the distress that I face, or the persecution that I face, or the storms of famine, or the storms of nakedness, or the storms of peril, or the storms of the sword? As it is written, for your sake we are all killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. In all things we will be overcomers because of him who loves us. And this is the commitment I want us to make. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor anything that I face present, nor anything which is to come, nor heights, nor depths, nor any other created things on the face of this earth shall separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Lord bless us, my brethren, to live through our storms in Jesus' name.